Welcome. I'm glad to see you're here again at the diner where the only dish we serve is the CLT sandwich. I hope you've returned with an empty stomach, eagerness, and a little bit of caution. Come inside and sample the dish where the flavor palette changes each week. From cryptids, to legendary people, tall tales, and myths from around the world. Stay a while, ignore the other patrons, and enjoy the dish that is the CLT sandwich.
Welcome back to the CLT Diner, where the only dish we serve is the CLT sandwich. My name is Anthony, and I have the honor of serving this wonderful dish to you. Enjoying today's dish with you is, you know, just yourselves. So, you know, say hello to yourselves, guys. Hello, hello. It is currently the day after my birthday. So, it is September 21st. It is a Tuesday, and I'm supposed to get an episode out tomorrow. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'll just do a solo episode. Because this will allow people to relax and stuff, you know, no last minute things. A lot of people have work. So it's kind of hard to get schedules don't really line up anymore. And I was going to record an episode. Typically what I do now is I'll record an episode of CLT Sandwich after Oddcast Network, Whatnodcast, after our show on there. Typically, so I'll have someone else, but I had to bounce out early yesterday because I went to my birthday dinner, but everyone check out that episode for What an Oddcast. It's great. So today we're just going to be, talking myself to me, myself and I, and we're going to go over some pirate stuff. Now, not really pirate stuff, but more ocean myths, another, little doodads and stuff like that. Let me make sure my computer's audio is off, so no website plops anything. Be like, hello, like, hey, no. Excuse me. So, I can hear people thinking already, Anthony, why ocean myths? Well, when I was a kid, I loved pirates. More than anything, like Pirates of the Caribbean, love that movie. I had books about pirates. I knew all about pirate stuff. I even went as a few pirates for Halloween in my childhood, because just big fan of pirates. So, cryptids, legends, tall tales, pirates, you know, all that. So we're going to go, and we're just going to cover over some nautical superstitions, because everyone has superstitions, but these ones are specifically nauticals. We're going to go over different little things, you know, we're going to pick here and there because, you know, it's just going to be me talking to you guys for as long as I can talk, and then I'm going to stop and then just go on. So, yeah. So, the first legend we're going to go over is Davy Jones' Locker. Now, Davy Jones' Locker is a metaphor for the bottom of the sea. You know, pirates, they'll be like, you know, "Arg, we sent him to Davy Jones' Locker. Arg." basically, it's the state of death among drowned sailors and shipwrecks. It's used as a euphemism for drowning or shipwrecks, in which the sailors and ship's remains are sent to the bottom of the ocean. So, one of the earliest mentions of Davy Jones comes from the books 4 Years of Captain George Roberts by Daniel Defoe, who also was a writer, trader. He wrote very famously Robinson Crusoe. So this guy really liked pirates. So he wrote that in 1726, and The Adventures of Peregrine Pickle by Tobias Smollett in 1751. Both those books describe Davy Jones, and that is D-A-V-I-E, as the deity of death and the final resting place for dead sailors. Throughout the many years, other theories about the origins came to light, the most popular being that Davy Jones was a British pub owner who put his drunk customers into his ale locker and dumped them onto any passing ship, or that he was Duffer Jones, notoriously a myopic sailor whose condition often led him to the fall of a ship. There are several theories about that Davy Jones' name came from altering the names of other saints or spirits, the Welsh Saint David who protected sailors in times of mortal danger, the West Indian malevolent ghost Duppy, or evil angel, of the sailors called Jonah. So Duffer, Duppy and Jonah, Davy Jones, yeah, you can see that. During the years where the legend of Davy Jones was in its highest, many sailors refused to discuss anything related to it in great detail. However, there is a long-standing tradition of celebrating the crossing of the Equatorial Line that includes paying homage to Davy Jones. The popularization of Davy Jones and his locker happened in the 19th century. His important mentionings happened in the works of Washington Irving, Edgar Allan Poe, Herman Melville, that's Moby Dick for you, Charles Dickens, and most famously, Robert Louis Stevenson's 1883 novel, Treasure Island. I was about to say Treasure Planet, because I watch a lot of Treasure Planet. I watch that movie a lot. It's a pretty good movie. That's Davy Jones. Honestly, he's just a dude. There are some great pictures where the entity of Davy Jones is evil. There's this one where he looks like he's dressed as Napoleon, but he's got a little skull and crossbones on his hat, and he's just chilling at the bottom of the ocean on a box, which I assume is the locker. And Davy Jones, of course, was very popular with in the Pirates of the Caribbean film, where, the Davy Jones character, who Bill Nighy played phenomenally, he was played by Bill Nighy, and everyone should watch the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, all of them, even the terrible ones, they're fun, but he was assigned to, ferry the dead, and then, his locker was like this purgatory-esque island, but not really purgatory, because they could escape from it. It is what it is. And funnily enough, the ship of Davy Jones in those movies was called the Flying Dutchman. But what is the Flying Dutchman, I hear you thinking to yourself? Well, the Flying Dutchman is a legendary ghost ship, probably the most famous, where it was said to never be able to make ports and doomed to sail the seas forever. So we're going to talk about some ghost ships. So before we get too deep into the Flying Dutchman, we'll just talk about ghost ships. Now, ghost ships, also known as phantom ships, is a vessel with no living crew aboard. There may be a ghostly vessel, or a physical derelict found adrift with its crew missing or dead. So the ship itself could be a ghost, or it could just be gone. Such as the case of the Mary Celeste, which just was empty. So there are two big different definitions. So we're going to talk about literal ghost ships with the Flying Dutchman here. The first print reference to the Flying Dutchman appears in travels in various parts of Europe, Asia, and Africa during a series of 30 years and upward. It's a long fucking title. That was written in 1790 by John MacDonald, whereas, quote, "The weather was so stormy that the sailors said they saw the Flying Dutchman. The common story that the Dutchman came to Cape in distressed weather and wanted to get into the harbor, but could not get a pilot to conduct her and was lost, and ever since, in very bad weather, her vision appears." And, it is what it is. There have been, sightings throughout everywhere, back from the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. A well-known sighting was by Prince George of Wales, the future King George V, when he was on a three-year voyage during his late adolescence in 1880 with his elder brother and tutor. They temporarily shipped into the HMS Inconstant after the damaged rudder was repaired in their original ship, the 4,000-ton Corvette Blanchette. The Prince's logs records the following, basically, July 11th at 4 a.m., the Flying Dutchman cost our boats a strange red light as the phantom ship all aglow, the mists of which the light masts, spars, and sails of a brig 200 yards stood in our strong lee as she came up to the port bow, where also the officer of the watch from the bridge clearly saw her and did the quarter-deck misshapen midshipman who was sent forward once to the forecastle, but on arriving there was no vestige nor sign whatever of any material ship was to be seen either near or right away on the horizon. Basically, at 4 a.m., they saw, people say that they saw a ship, and they went to go, they took a small boat out to it, and there was no ship. Now this one could be explained. There are some optical illusions that can occur with this. Reason why ghost ships happen. You have, you know, a mirage. You have the Fata Morgana and looming. So we all know what a mirage is. You see something, but you don't see it. But the Fata Morgana is a very specific kind of mirage, which translates. It's an Italian term. Fata Morgana, not Fanta. So Fata Morgana. Morgana. Which is the name of the Arthurian sorceress Morgan Le Fay, Morgan the Fairy, due to beliefs that these mirages, often seen in the Strait of Messina, were fairy castles on the air or false land conjured up by her witchcraft to lure sailors to their death. And basically, Fata Morgana, what you will see is upon the horizon, you'll see a ship, and underneath it, you can see it floating, and then the water. And it's an optical phenomenon. It occurs because rays of light bend when they pass through air. Air layers at different temperature. So basically, because, you know, in calm weather, a layer of significantly warmer air rests over the cold, denser air, forming a duct that acts like a refracting lens. So basically, because warm air is on cold air, that makes it reflect, as opposed to, you know, you can't really see through it. And the really interesting part about this is that it can also occur where you can see things on, you can see, you know, images on, in the sky, in the clouds, which is pretty amazing. So you could imagine that, you know, you can see, imagine seeing you're on a boat, a ship from a distance far away, and then you look and you see another boat, and it's in the fucking clouds. Or you see a boat and it's fucking floating as it goes on by. You know, without proper knowledge or know-how, you'd be like, there's a fucking ship in the sky, or there's a fucking ship floating on by. So that's just the explanation of ghost ships. Everyone just look up Fata Morgana, so FATA MORGANA, and you just look at some images on Google. It's pretty dope, if I do say so myself. You know, just, you can hear me clicking the search. No, literally the first image is a old school ship with sails, and it just looks like it's fucking flying. And you would be like, oh yeah, understandable. I can see why ghost ships exist. Another name for this is called a looming. Excuse me. Oof. Where an abnormally large refraction of the object increases. That's a lot of science words. Basically, air makes you see things differently because it's different temperatures. That's pretty cool. Excuse me. Yeah, that's pretty cool and can be easily found. Just give me one second. I gotta pause for a second. Sorry about that. There were some people outside my door. They left a little thing and then... Oh, excuse me. They left like a little pamphlet and left. I was just very curious about what that was. So the another ghost ship we have the ghost ship of the Northumberland Strait. Now this is a Canadian ghost story, where the legend of a ghost ship in the Northumberland Strait dates back at least 200 years and is typically described as a beautiful schooner. A schooner is a type of sailing vessel, is a boat, has two or more masts, kind of small. No, it's a smaller boat, but, you know, it's no, like, Black Pearl, it's a smaller one. But anyways, that has three or four masts with pure white sails, all of which had been said to be completely engulfed in flames. So the strait separates Prince Edward Island from Newsbrook in Nova Scotia, and according to local folklore lore, the ghost ship appears before a northeast wind and is forewarning of a storm. A number of legends and ghost stories exist that describe sightings of a ghost ship over the years, include descriptions of distinctive outlines of ship's masts and phantom crew members climbing them before the vessel either completely burns, sinks, or vanishes. According to legend, in 1900, a group of sailors boarded a small rowboat in Charlottetown Harbor and raced towards a phantom ship to rescue the crew, only to have the ship to vanish. In January 28th, 17-year-old Matthew Geiger, is French, hard to pronounce, you know how the French are, told the local newspaper that he believed he saw the legendary phantom ship in the bay, describing a bright white and gold ship. Natural explanation in 1905 proposed that the legend may have arisen due to a natural electric phenomenon known as St. Elmo's Fire, such as St. Elmo's Fire, that has been subject to the interpretation of flaming and rigging. Words are hard when you talk by yourself for a little bit. Interpretation as the flaming rigging of a ship. Other explanations say that the illusion may have been created by the bank of fog reflecting the moonlight. So again, you know, air fucking with people's vision. Now, St. Elmo's Fire, to explain what that is, and not the movie St. Elmo's Fire, is a weather phenomenon which luminous plasma is created by the corona discharge from a rod-like object such as a mast, spire, chimney, or animal horn. Basically, what can happen is an electric field around the affected object causes ionization of the air molecules, producing a faintly glow easily visible to low-light conditions. Conditions can generate St. Elmo's Fire are present during thunderstorms when high voltage difference are between clouds and the ground, a local electric field, blah, 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 blah. Basically, when there's electricity in the air, sometimes it gathers around the ends of things and makes plasma glow, which is pretty interesting, pretty fun. In ancient Greece, the appearance of a single instance of St. Elmo's Fire was called Helene, literally meaning torch. Let me try to find one that maybe is a little more familiar to people. Not really. No, not really. But anyways. So, yeah. Sometimes in the Northumberland Strait, you can see a boat that might be on fire. Ooh. Oh, I'm spooked out. I don't know about you guys. Oof. Let's see what else we got here. So we have the Megalodon, which is kind of a more modern day superstition, myth, you know, that people know about. Basically, the Megalodon was a real shark in the past. It was a giant shark, huge, so big. It was trying to figure out a size for it. It was maximum lengths were about the 47 to 67 feet long. I don't know if I'm reading that correctly. Let me just look up Megalodon size. Yeah. Yep, they were 47 to 67 feet long. Which, to let people know, that's about bigger than a school bus. So the Megalodon, because it was a real shark, because sharks have been around for a very long time, fun fact, the shark is older than trees. They've been on the planet Earth for so long. But the idea is that even though that they died out about 2.6 million years ago, people believe that the Megalodon is still lurking in deeper oceans. Which is fine, because we don't really know a lot about deep oceans. Like, I think I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, like, the great white shark, we don't really know a lot about them. Like, we never see, we just recently see them, have seen them mate for the first time, which was big fucking, like, wow, that's fucking awesome, woo! Because sharks will just fucking go into the ocean and disappear and then come back. It's insane. Another creature we have is the Kraken, which we've already gone over. Big squid, most of the time. Sometimes it's not. Atlantis, future episode. Mermaid. People are horny. So, not really there. We got the penis-eating clam. About a guy who stuck his dick into a clam, and it just basically cut his dick off. Yeah, it's not really. So I got some more sailor superstitions. I got this from the Wikipedia page. So let's talk over some of them. Bad luck. Yeah, just bad luck. In general, the red sunrise. Sailors are taught that if the sunrise is red to take warning, the day ahead will be dangerous. Which, you know, you can kind of, you know, in Lord of the Rings, I think, you know, there's red sun, there's been blood spilled overnight. You know, red suns. Which is fine. Red sky at night, sailors are right. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. So, that's a fun one. Jonah, that is, or, yeah, Jonah. That's a person who is bad luck. On a boat. And redheads and women are also considered to be bad, to be avoided as passengers, because, yeah, apparently redheads and women make boats sink. Sirens and Scylla, you know, sirens, in our three-part Odyssey episodes. We went over sirens, and they were creatures that were beautiful, but they sang a song that made people kill themselves. You know, they crashed into the boat, and with Odysseus being Odysseus, he's like, yo, I want to hear the song and live. So he got himself, he made his crew stick wax in his ears and tie him to the mast so he could hear the song and live, because, you know, we all know that Greek heroes are actually fucking assholes. So fuck Greek heroes. You have Scylla, who's also one in the Odyssey, which was a sea demon that is dangerous and beautiful. She had six heads and would grab six sailors from your boat. And it was right next to Charybdis, who would eat up the whole boat. So, between rock and a hard place, blah, 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 blah. having bananas on a ship is apparently considered bad luck. That's a fun fact. Whistling can be considered bad luck, except with possible exceptions. It says to whistle is to challenge the wind itself, and to do that will also bring a storm. It is also considered bad luck to... another tale has been considered bad luck ever since the mutiny aboard the HMS Bounty, where Fletcher Christian is said to have used a whistle to signal the beginning of the mutiny against Captain William Bilge. And during christening of a ship, it is considered inauspicious. Inauspicious. Also, not conductive to be a success. If the bottle of champagne fails to break the first time it is swung against the hull. Now, those are some bad luck things for sailors. You have good luck. And let's talk about some good luck stuff. Cats. While many cultures, a black cat is considered to be unlucky, British and Irish sailors consider adopting black ship's cats because it would bring good luck. A high level of care was directed towards them and kept them happy. And there was some logical belief to this. You know, cats hunt rodents, which can damage ropes and stores of grain on board, as well as spread disease among passengers and crew. Research has backed up this superstition. Evidence published in 2017 by a geneticist in the University of Leuven shows Egyptian cats spread their mitochondrial DNA through shipping lanes to medieval Northern Europe. Preliminary results of that genetic study concluded cats were also carried on trading ships to control rodents, a practice that was adopted from other nations. Basically, the Egyptians had cats, and they're like, yo, look at these cats on my boats. They're fucking awesome. They help me, you know, get rid of fucking pains on the boat. You guys should have a cat. And they're like, yeah, let's have a fucking cat. Nice. Another good luck, we have whistling. That is said to encourage the wind, the strength of the wind, which is really weird. But then again, back to this, whistling was taboo because it's a code of communication between mutineers. The cook was usually excused because as long as he was whistling, he was not stealing food. Collar touching. He's considered lucky to touch the collar of a sailor's suit. Mermaids usually be considered lucky, but not universally. In Trinidad and Tobago, sea-dwelling mermen were known to grant a wish, transform mediocrity into genius, and confer wealth and power. I decided to do that because 2 days ago it was International Talk Like a Pirate Day. We also have sailor tattoos, and this is probably going to be some of the last things I say. It's going to be a shorter episode, but, you know, you can only talk about yourself for so long. So, sailor tattoos are a visual way to preserve the culture and maritime suspicions. Sailors believe certain symbols and talismans will help them when facing certain life events. For example, getting a tattoo of a pig and a hen are considered to get good luck, as both animals are not capable of swimming. But they believe that God will look down upon a shipwreck and see animals not capable of swimming and take them into his hand and place them onto land. Basically, if you get a tattoo of a pig and a, you know, rooster on your feet, you're going to survive. You're going to survive wrecks. In reality, most of the smaller livestock aboard ships would float in their wooden crates and would be among the only survivors of wrecks, adding further reason to get the tattoos on the sailors' feet. So, you know, they would bring these animals, they would be the only ones to survive, people would see that and be like, I'm gonna get these tattoos and bring these animals, get in a shipwreck, the animals are the only ones to survive, etc., etc. Another example of superstition is that the North Star, the nautical star, or compass rose, not getting a tattoo of that, sailors believe that by wearing the symbol, it would help them find his or her way home. The anchor is commonly used in sailor tattoos, which is to prevent a sailor from floating away from the ship should he fall overboard. The words "hold fast" tattooed on the knuckles would prevent a sailor from falling aloft. That's a pretty fun little thing there. So sailor tattoos all come from different little traditions. But yeah, I'm sorry it's a shorter episode, but I'll admit, no thank you. I don't care about Windows 11. But I admit, I literally planned this, opened up all my stuff right before I sat down. So it is on me 100%. You know, but it's my birthday, so you guys will, I hope you guys will understand why it's very last minute. But I got you guys out an episode, because I love you, and I very much enjoy the show, and I very much enjoy talking about stuff. Which is why, when people can't show up, I like to do it by myself. I have no problem. But, make sure that you, hit up patreon.com/oddcastm for ad-free versions of this show. I would normally say early, but with, how life has been, there's not really a lot of earliness in episodes, because, you know, it happens. But, you can also reach out to me on Twitter at @CLT_sandwich for the official podcast Twitter, at Infernal Frenzy for my personal Twitter, which has a picture of the, Darth Vader, demon from the Insidious series. You can also email thecltsandwich @gmail.com for questions, comments, episode ideas, or hellos. Make sure you follow Oddcast N on Twitter. That's the other primary podcast run by Jared Mendekheim, who normally is on the show, but unfortunately he's not. But thank you for listening, sampling today's flavor CLT sandwich. We hope you enjoyed it, and you'll join us next week to try a brand new one. Remember, there are whispers in the shadows, unseen creatures, and just sailors out there. But don't be afraid. We're here to make them more palatable for everyone's consumption. Stay safe, and stay hungry.